Pray as we stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day as we remember this most significant event in the whole of history. We pray that as we consider your word afresh this morning, you would open our hearts, help us to see more of the greatness of Jesus. And we ask for his sake. Amen. Do take a seat. Back in the late 60s, 669 people were asked to spend 2 days in an underground emergency shelter. The idea was to simulate what might happen in the event of a catastrophic event. Now, there were people of all ages, from 6 months to 79, men and women, and folks from different racial and ethnic backgrounds. They were in cramped rooms without furniture or running water. Each had only a small area with an air mattress and a blanket to sleep with. There were just biscuits and water for food and drink. Well, during the 2 days, people reacted very differently. Some organised communal singing of nursery rhymes. Others listened to radios turned up loudly. And yet others began church services, including a collection on paper plates for charity. Some helped themselves, and others, by their reactions, made it very difficult for others to be there. When the 2 days were over, some said that they would do it again, as it was such an interesting experience. Others said they would definitely not want to face such a similar ordeal. It is clear that in life, we often find different reactions to the same experience. Well, that was certainly the case in what we read from the Bible about that first Easter Sunday morning. According to Luke chapter 24, some of the early followers of Jesus were told, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen." Now, those who heard that message believed it to be true. But when they passed it on to their friends, we're told, these words seemed to them like an idle tale, and they did not believe them. It's clear then that some who heard about the resurrection of Jesus were sceptical. They didn't believe it. That phrase, an idle tale, appears only here in the whole Bible. And I'm told that it's actually a medical term, a piece of jargon used by Dr. Luke, the author of the Gospel. The phrase means the unintelligible babblings of a delirious person. That's how the close friends of Jesus thought of the idea that Jesus had risen. It was nonsense. It was madness. Well, of course, some people today dismiss the idea that Jesus rose from the dead in a similar kind of way. It's impossible. It's mad. Someone coming back from the dead is, of course, definitely not something that we hear about every day. I'm sure it's a long time since there was any such reports in the whole Daily Mail, or any other newspaper for that matter. And these days, if something like that did happen, then it would be all around the world in minutes, thanks to the internet. But of course, you don't hear such reports. It's obvious to all of us, sometimes with much sadness, that dead people don't come back to life. So you might expect people with no other information to assume that such a thing is unbelievable. Some who hear about the resurrection of Jesus then and now are sceptical. But of course there were others who had their scepticism changed into belief. The small group of women who came with Jesus from Galilee, including Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, knew that Jesus was dead. It was all over. Their dreams of God's long-expected Messiah coming to bring in God's kingdom had been smashed. Jesus had been crucified, and that was the end of it. All they could do in their sadness that Sunday morning at early dawn was to mourn according to the usual local customs. So what changed them into believers? When they got to the tomb, the stone which sealed the entrance to the cave tomb had been rolled away. And more odd still, we read, when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. The tomb was empty. Jesus had gone. Now that Jesus' tomb was empty is powerful evidence that he rose again. Many people over many years have tried to find an alternative explanation other than that Jesus had risen again. But frankly, they failed to do so. In one of his books, Geza Vermesh, an accomplished historian who is not friendly to the Christian account of things, has to admit this. In the end, when every argument has been considered and weighed, the only conclusion acceptable to the historian must be that the women, whilst out to pay their last respects to Jesus, found to their consternation not a body, but an empty tomb. But it was something else as well that made these people believe. We read in verse 4, while they were perplexed about this empty tomb, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. These women saw two individuals, angels, according to what we read later in chapter 24. Now, not surprisingly, the women were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, but the angels made clear what had happened. Why do you seek the living among the dead? They said. He is not here, but has risen. Jesus has defeated the human race's greatest enemy, death. Those who are connected to him can know and share in that victory as well. They can have the hope of eternal life with new transformed bodies. Bodies fitted for God's new world, rather like the one that Jesus came back to life with. As we shall sing at the end of our service, death has lost its sting. Now, as if their message was not enough, the angels also reminded the women that Jesus had said that this was going to happen in advance, though they and their friends didn't understand it at the time. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day, rise. And Luke tells us they remembered his words. See, the angels reminded Jesus' friends that he had predicted that he must die. This was the way that God was providing to bring people back to himself. Jesus' death was, as the old man in the temple had foretold before his birth, for the forgiveness of sins. As, of course, sharing bread and wine this morning in Holy Communion reminds us. Jesus' rising again means that God has proved that what Jesus did on the cross is true. The way to God is now open. It is open for those who turn back to him and rely on what he has done. Wonder who needs to be reminded of that vital truth this Easter morning. Well, if the women moved from sadness and dejection to belief, Peter went through a similar transition. Having skeptically thought the women's testimony was nothing but an idle tale, he went and looked for himself. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marvelling at what had happened. This sight made Peter believe that Jesus had risen, partly because he couldn't explain it any other way, given what he actually observed of the way the cloths were laid, without a body. But this belief was to be deepened further when he and others actually met the risen Jesus themselves. Later in the chapter, we read that as the 11 apostles and others were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." So all these things transformed Jesus' friends. They'd been in despair, but they became those who spread the message with boldness and were, of course, even prepared to give themselves to death in the process. the empty tomb, the angelic message, the reminder of Jesus' predictions, the appearances of Jesus, and the changed lives of the apostles point us to the truth and reality that Jesus has risen. Now, of course, normally speaking, dead people don't come back to life. But the evidence overwhelmingly shows that Jesus did. Judge Charles Darling, who acted as Lord Chief Justice during the First World War, once wrote this: "In favour of the resurrection as a living truth, there exists such overwhelming evidence, positive and negative, factual and circumstantial, that no intelligent jury in the world could fail to bring in the verdict that the resurrection story is true." Now, some of those who were there that first Easter, and many, many millions of others since, have believed that Christ is risen, proving his death on the cross can bring people back to God, and that death has been beaten. But as we read those Bible readings this morning, we also saw that there was another reaction to that event of the resurrection of Jesus, not skepticism and not full belief. When the two Marys and Joanna and the others found the tomb empty, Luke tells us they were perplexed. They couldn't work it out. They needed some extra help, which for them came from the angels and their message and their reminder of the words of Jesus. In our other reading from the Acts of the Apostles, the message of the resurrection of Jesus was being explained to people in Athens, people who had known nothing of the true and living God before. I wonder if you remember the reactions of the people. Luke, who also wrote the Acts of the Apostles, tells us, "Now when people heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked." You see, there will always be those who refuse to believe and remain skeptical. In the Greek capital, we read that there were also some who heard about the resurrection of Jesus and who believed and joined the other Christians. And there were also others. They said, "We will hear you again about this." See, like the women at the tomb, some of these people wanted to know more. They needed to know more in order to make an informed decision. It's good to think. It's good to ask questions. It's good to investigate. And that's why here at All Saints Church, we try and provide opportunities to explore and investigate the truth of the Christian message in many different ways, as we gather on Sundays, as there are groups in homes, as we put on special events, as we run Christianity Explored sessions. There are different ways to find out more about this. Well, in life, we often find different reactions to the same experience. Sometimes those reactions are right, sometimes they're wrong. Of course, none of us were there that first Easter Sunday. But all of us have the opportunity to grasp the significance of what happened that day and what the substantial evidence for it is. "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but has risen. Forgiveness is available. The way to God is open, and death can be overcome." The question is, how are we going to react to Jesus and his resurrection? Will it be skepticism? Will it be inquiry? Will it be belief? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Christ is risen. We thank you that you know each one of us and how we react to that claim. Please open our hearts afresh. Build confidence in Jesus in us, we pray, as we think about our needs for forgiveness and of life. Strengthen this in us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.